It's like an armpit hair got stuck on my shirt, and so then it was like pulling, and so you gotta like yank it. And I don't know if I pulled out the hair or pulled the hair out of the shirt. Right?
You don't shave your armpits.
You know, it's only smooth on top, not all underneath this shirt. I am a beast. You can't even imagine how I look shirtless. I am shirtless on the internet, so you can imagine because there's just pictures of me shirtless on the internet. So you're welcome.
Not gonna imagine that.
All right. Hey there, internet. My name is Jack Packard, and I've got a prescription for more inscription here for The Escapist.
That wasn't a movie pun. That was for a game.
That wasn't even a pun. It was just a rhyme.
My name is Eklander, the editor-in-chief of The Escapist. I don't know jack shit, apparently.
It's just rhyming, Nick. It's just rhyming. I did a rhyming thing, and so that was your invitation to listen, and then you do a rhyming thing, too. That was my offer that I gave to you.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You've already had coffee this morning, I'm sure. I have not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why not? You knew when we were recording.
I only woke up 10 minutes ago. Brain don't work yet.
This sounds like a failure for you.
No, I got to sleep in. That sounds like a win.
Fair enough. This week on The Escapist Show, Nick and I are talking indie card games, AAA car games, and the newest Marvel games.
God.
And then Nick's going to talk about some Halo crap.
Yes.
So hello and welcome. This is The Escapist Show. Okay, so you have two games to talk about, Nick. Why don't you talk about a game first?
I do, and it should be pretty easy to get through. The first game I played over the past few weeks was Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, which if you don't know what that is, because I know you saw it at E3 with us, and I don't think any of us were really impressed with it, but it's basically a single-player action-adventure game set in the Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, not using the movie characters, but characters that seemingly look just kind of like the characters, but also... As Yahtzee will point out in his ZEP episode this week, Peter Quill has a really stupid hairdo.
Because it has to be legally distinct from Chris Pratt's stupid hairdo. Right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy as a game, I really wasn't looking forward to that game at all. The E3 presentation didn't do anything to sell me. The marketing didn't do anything to sell me. But surprisingly enough, like I have actually had a very good time with the game, and I would actually put it in probably my top five games of this year. If to give you a really rough breakdown of it, I mean, it's basically like Uncharted, but Guardians of the Galaxy. With a little bit of like Mass Effect in there, where you travel around the galaxy and do things. Some RPG choices where you can choose dialogue choices that give you different story beats. But in the sense of how it's kind of like Uncharted, the reason it reminds me of that is because it's like the way the story is delivered amongst the characters become the very central focus of the game over everything else. What I really like about Uncharted is like the character relationships, and Guardians of the Galaxy kind of has that same thing. And I got like, honestly, like there's an endless amount of dialogue in Guardians of the Galaxy, which you probably wouldn't like, but also like...
It sounds like my hell.
But... it's actually good. Like, it's funny. There's a lot of funny quips. There's a lot of funny banter between, all the people in the party and everything. And it just works. And that was one thing I was really concerned about going in, was that I was just going to be annoyed and sick of the dialogue, and that it was going to be cringy or whatever. But no, I actually had a lot of fun with it. And going back to like our impressions on like the E3 presentation, I was worried about the gameplay really not being any fun, because you really only get to use Peter Quill, and then you command the other characters to do things. But Peter Quill is kind of like the most boring of the bunch to use as a character. And that still kind of remains true. Like, the gunplay isn't very fun. You know, like it's serviceable. So the main reason you're really pushing through the game is to get through the story, which is actually really good. I actually like it a lot more than really any of the Marvel movies. Like, there's more there. Yeah. I even like the characters in this quite a bit more than more of the Marvel movies. I think they did a really good job with that. So point being, like, if you were burned by Avengers and you didn't really like that game at all because of either the campaign or because of all the extra live service crap in it, like Guardians of the Galaxy is very much more what people were looking for from a Marvel game in terms of like a single player adventure. And the other game I really couldn't get out of my head while playing that I was thinking of the whole time was like this game kind of feels like what Jedi Fallen Order did for Star Wars and like big single player adventure games. Guardians of the Galaxy has it.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I guess if you don't like that kind of thing, but Guardians of the Galaxy like kind of got me back on board with what they're trying to do with Marvel, and hopefully they do more Guardians of the Galaxy stuff and less Marvel's Avengers kind of stuff. But overall, I'd recommend it. Like it's not going to blow your mind in the gameplay department or really, in any department. It's just a very competent, AAA character focused action game, if I had to put it in a category. And it has a story worth trotting through for all that.
Okay. Great. Then we'll kick it over to me when in the independent side of things, I played a little game called Inscription with a Y.
Mm.
A game so indie it couldn't even afford the proper spelling. Nice, huh? Pretty good. Yes. Just thought of that. Yes. Inscription with a Y in the middle. Inscription is at its core a card game. It's a deck building strategic card game, which is all up in my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. Though the presentation is what helps set it apart. It is a game within a game within a game. When you load up the game, like you hear voices of people saying like, hey, let's check out this old game. And then you're playing a different game. And then within that different game, you start playing the card game. It has many levels. But it's just a card game. It has this incredibly dark and creepy, ominous atmosphere. The game master that you are playing with is this imposing figure. If you lose, he drags you into a shed and kills you. Everything from the music to the sound design to the actual gameplay is kind of horror themed. So it's a great game to play in late October. The thing that sets it apart from other deck building card games, usually you get kind of like points to spend, and how many points you have is how many cards you can play. Mm-hmm. In Inscription, you need to sacrifice cards to play other cards. So, you have to play a squirrel and then sacrifice that squirrel and use its blood to play the next card. And so it's a really neat system of choosing what card to play when, and it's really neat and engaging, a nice hard difficulty. My one issue with it is slightly spoilery, and so heads up, if you were thinking about playing Inscription, I think you should. I think it's very good, but I'm about to get tiny bit spoilery now. Which is the game encourages you to get up from the card table and explore this creepy cabin that you're in. And if you do so, you can actually find more cards that you can add your possible deck, which is really neat. The only problem with it is that instead of discovering that for yourself as a player, like some of the cards talk to you and the cards literally tell you at some points, hey, stop playing the game. Get up and explore the cabin. You can find stuff. Hey, what about that puzzle over there? I bet you could do that puzzle. Go over there. Go do it. And so it's like, it felt like a very ham-fisted meta narrative, which is fine. Like
I don't know. That seems like a really new mechanic for a card game. Maybe they thought people wouldn't know to do that.
Oh yeah, like
organic way to do it though.
Basically, that's it. And like, I get that. They want to encourage the player, like, go around the cabin and fuck around. Like, play around with stuff. You might find something interesting. They really wanted to encourage that. But instead of encouraging it, they just told you to do it.
Right.
But that doesn't take away from the creepy atmosphere. Like, I finally got to the boss of the game last night. Really intense battle I lost, but, like, really fun. And I look forward to playing it more.
Yeah, I saw that game. I had a lot of people talking about it recently. I think it did pretty well in the first week of sales
Put out by Devolver, which, the big indie company. And it's weird and creepy. And it's a great game to play in the fall while it's creepy. Like, before the snow hits, but while it's just like cold and creepy and all the leaves are dying. It's a great fall game.
Nice. I've actually, I'm not big on card games, but I have been paying attention to that one. I think I will try it at some point.
It's tough. It's a tough one to wrap your head around the strategy of it.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you need to, you know, like the goal of the game is to hit your opponent. And in order to hit your opponent, you need to have no opponent's cards in front of you. And so like the strategy is about like hitting fast and hard as often as possible, like, you know, clearing the opponent's cards so you can hit the opponent enough times. And and it's interesting.
Well, speaking of hitting things, I have been playing Forza Horizon 5 and hitting lots of walls and other cars the whole time.
There we go. Nice segue. Congratulations on the segue, everybody.
Yes.
Great job.
So yeah, Forza Horizon 5, it is literally more Forza Horizon, and honestly,
what?
That's really...
Oh, hold on, my shocked face.
Yes, but that's what people wanted, and I'm okay with it, and it's a game, it's like one of those games that's a long-running series that I also have not gotten tired of the gameplay loop of, just because it's so much fun. My 3MR should be out for it, well, it'll be out for it by the time this video's up already, so you can go check that out for... My very basic impressions. Did you know it's very hard to review a car game that's like the same game as the past five other games?
I would imagine so, because a lot of the review is, did you like the other games?
It's literally the first line of my review. If you liked Forza Horizon 1 through 4, then you will enjoy this. Shut up. Stop watching. Go play it.
That's why I don't care much for those games. It's like, yeah. It's more. It's more of the same. You know what it is.
Yep. I mean, it's pretty much like an annual sports game. But
slightly prettier, right?
Every iteration of Forza Horizon has gotten better. Unlike, I don't know, NHL 2022, which I bought and is awful. They seem to make it worse every year. Because I haven't bought an NHL game in years, so I finally decided I'll buy this one for the next gen console. Okay. So Forza Horizon 5. You know, set in Mexico, absolutely gorgeous on the Xbox Series X. There is no game that even comes close to it right now. I haven't played Microsoft's Flight Simulator just because if you're going to look at the graphics and then I'm probably just going to crash. But in general, like, you know, the Horizon formula works so well because like it's a racing game that lets you do whatever you want, play it however you want, and you're never going without finding something to do for like more than a few hundred feet in the game, which I really love that gameplay loop of like, oh, you're driving down a road. Well, you might not find a race here, but you can drift and rack up points, or you can do a drag race, or you can just, you know, when you have other people driving the world with you, just challenge somebody to a race and it sets up a path for you to go on. And the one thing that really always keeps me hooked in the Horizon games is just the world. It's just absolutely gorgeous. There's 11 different locales in this one and they change during different seasons. So sometimes an area might not be accessible because it's in the winter, or you can access new areas in the winter and all that. So like the opening race of the game has you careening down a fucking volcano, and you just, this vista that you see is just incredible. The game never keeps you in one place for too long. It's always keeping you moving into a new area. So like you always get that visual feedback of, like, hey, this is new, this is exciting. And even if you've been to an area before, well, it still sends you back to another area where you still get a new area there, then back to another area where you get a new area. They have like these expeditions now where you like race across the entire map, which is really fun. It actually reminds me of like the days of like Test Drive Unlimited, where you do would do road trips in that. It's just a good game. Like Playground has not missed. And I'm super, super excited to see what they do with Fable, because I just like Forza Horizon has consistently been an extremely polished experience, really fun, great visuals, great soundtrack. So I really want to see them take, you know, the Guerrilla route where Guerrilla made FPS games for so long and then made Horizon Zero Dawn, you know, an amazing, you know, third person action game. And hopefully they're going to do the same thing with Fable. But straight up, like we said at the start of the segment, if you like Forza Horizon 1 through 4, you should play 5. Even if you don't like racing games, I still think you would like Forza Horizon. I don't know. It's like a weird feeling playing those games. It's like just a real, I don't, it's kind of relaxing and it's, you know, it's just fun. I mean, that's really all there is to it. You know, especially when you get a group of friends together, like we are going to play Forza Horizon for game night. And that should be pretty fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, great. That's great. Now to the topics. We're going to see if Nick should play Halo.
Yes. So to give you guys, give you guys a slight recap, Halo Infinite was like was supposed to release last December, and then after really botched gameplay campaign trailer or campaign gameplay trailer, it got pushed back an entire year. And so for the past year, 343 has been doing like consistent updates, ever telling everybody kind of like what's coming into the game and, you know, the visual enhancements they've made and the design philosophies and all that. And so finally, about a week ago, we finally got to see the campaign in action for the first time after almost a year. And the game releases on December 8th, I think. December 9th? I don't remember. What, one of those days. December 8th, I think. So, you know, the whole prevailing thing about Halo Infinite has been like, is this game going to shape up okay? Because, you know, 4 and 5 were both, you know, 4 was pretty good. 5's campaign was pretty awful. I don't think anybody's going to say that the gameplay of either of those games was bad at all, and neither were the visuals. Like, we're, Amy and I are playing Halo 4 right now, and I mean, that's a game from 2012, and it still looks really good this day. So I was never too worried about the visuals for Halo Infinite, but you know, this new campaign reveal trailer kind of gave us a better look at like the open sandbox of the world that you get to play in, a bit more about the story and what the premise is of, you know, Chief and the weapon, which is the AI's new name, trying to figure out what happened to Cortana after 5. And if you haven't played 5, like, basically Cortana goes through rampancy and wants to destroy everything, and, you know, she's gone crazy. So Infinite's kind of got like this mystery to it of like, who are the Banished? Because if you haven't played Halo Wars 2, you wouldn't know who the Banished are yet. If you haven't read Shadows of Reach, you wouldn't know who the Banished are yet either.
That sounds terrible.
No, I think it's okay. Like, I think they're gonna be okay.
Exhausting. Like, as a non-Halo fan,
yeah,
this sounds exhausting.
Nah, it's actually, if you've play Halo 4 or 5, you'd probably be exhausted by that story, because they really brought in all this extra lore that nobody really understood at the time, unless you've really read the books and you had to read outside material to get those stories. And so with Infinite, you know, that's still a question I have, and I think a lot of Halo fans have, is like, how are they going to deliver all this extra exposition into the game to explain the Banished and what happened to the UNSC? Because like the UNSC is in shambles by the time this game starts.
Sure.
So there's a lot of stuff for them to cover. I'm still slightly concerned about the story of that game and how they're going to deliver it. But I mean, so far, like the newest trailer got me actually interested in what they're doing more so than the past trailers that they've done.
I'm assuming that you should be very concerned about the story, because very recently there was these reports that, you know, Microsoft wants to bring its properties into their own metaverse, if you will, and they were talking about Halo and Minecraft and Flight Simulator as these, you know, like properties that you can go and live in. And so I think that is them saying, like, they want Halo to be something that people come back to every day. And so I think they are going to stretch that story.
Yeah, we've kind of talked about that. I think they've already talked before about making Halo Infinite a platform for the future, because the campaign is its own thing and the multiplayer is free to play, so they're two separate things now. But I'm not super concerned about that. Like, Halo Infinite will have a self-contained story. They've already said that much.
So, I can just imagine it being a short story, and then, you know, a couple months later, another short story, and another short story, and another short story. And then if you play Halo, that's what you're playing. Which, by the way, if you are a Halo fan, this is very good news.
Yeah, like, well, that's what I'm interested in to see if they do. If they, you know, as they say, they're building this as a platform. And we've talked about it before on the Escapist show, so I won't get so far into it. But, you know, yeah, if we get Master Chief's story in this part, and then if they deliver a new campaign expansion a year from now where you get to explore another arc set in the same time at a different character, right, I'm all aboard for that. I think that sounds great. And it's on Game Pass, so it's not like you have to pay for it or anything. But
it's just a reason for people to, it's the people who are subscribed to Game Pass to keep subscribing, which is, that's what they're looking for. Absolutely.
Yep, absolutely. Other than that, like, other than the story, I mean, the visuals looked great in the new trailer, and I don't know how next gen it looks, but I'm not really super concerned about that as a fan of the series.
Yeah.
And then also,
no, I, I think like there's a lot of I saw talk about that with Halo. You see talk about that with Pokemon. You see like and as someone who has never been concerned with graphics, lighten the fuck up, everybody. If the game is fun to play, who cares?
Yep. Well, you know? And that's what the trailer showed to me is like that looks it just looks fun to play and people it's kind of funny like people were comparing it to Far Cry and I'm like Far Cry. You know, there's no like the AI doesn't react to anything you do. Halo's always been about reactive AI and these super sandboxy things where you can do actually crazy stuff.
Right.
And it, I mean, like Halo is literally everything Far Cry wants to be in terms of its gameplay loop.
Yeah, but if you shoot a pineapple in Far Cry, the pineapple goes into little chunks, and if you shoot the fruit in Halo, it just disappears. And you know what? That just takes me right out of the game. It's like you can't program a pineapple. Come on.
I'm so glad I don't look for that stuff on Twitter anymore.
Hey, what do you think? You think I don't know how a pineapple works?
Is that how you cut up your pineapples? Do you just shoot it with a shotgun?
I live in Wisconsin. Absolutely. That's how I cut up everything with my shotgun.
Okay, your meat must taste really bad then.
Fruit salad.
That's how you get your shredded beef.
Hell yeah. God bless America.
There you go. But I'm not super worried about Halo Infinite anymore. I'm really looking forward to trying out. I know we haven't like since we do the Escapist show every other week now, we didn't really get a chance to talk like about the multiplayer tech previews that I got to play through and the gameplay in that was better than it's ever been in Halo. So my concern has gone from like about here to a little bit closer to here now. And
okay.
My only thing is like, will they nail the story? Because I'm not worried about the gameplay. The gameplay in 4 and 5 was excellent. Visuals, not worried about that. Both 4 and 5 had excellent visuals. Just story. Because 5 story was poo. Just straight poo. But being the nerd that I am, having read Shadows of Reach and having played Halo Wars 2, I like the setup of everything that they're going with. And you guys may get a pilot for something new that goes over all that lore so they catch you up on the Halo series before it comes out. So that'd be, you know, stay tuned for that. But I know Jack will never, I don't know, maybe I'll try Halo Infinite because it'll be on Game Pass.
I cannot imagine there is enough for me to care. I like, yeah, sure, it's on Game Pass. I might give it a shot. We'll see. I'm trying not to say never. You're never supposed to say never.
I will even pay you to give it a shot.
See, there we go. Now you're talking. I need incentives.
Yes, great. There you go.
There we go.
I will say overall though, like it's been really cool to see. Maybe not cool, but really interesting to see like the public shift on 343 and Halo just before the game's even out because of all that communication they did over the past year. I mean, they had monthly updates, these massive blog updates where they would go through everything that they've been working on and you get to insights from the team and everything. And interestingly, like, you know, we're not going to get too far into Cyberpunk discussion again, but like Cyberpunk recently just delayed all of their updates now to 2022. So in this year alone, I think we got 3 updates that were pretty relatively minor to that game. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we were talking about it on Breakout a little bit about like, man, like CD Projekt Red should have been looking at what 343 has been doing with their communication and talking about, hey, here's the processes we're doing. Here's what we're going to improve. Here's what you can kind of keep an eye out for. But man, they've just been completely quiet. And I think it's even worse that game's out and able to buy and they're not communicating what they're doing at all.
Yeah, no, like we've discussed in the past, I don't think they care. They've already made their money back. They're going to patch as necessary, but more importantly, they are going to work on the next thing that will sell. They've already gotten all of their press, all of the press that people will care about. Like I don't think like if Cyberpunk gets to a point where everyone says, "Oh, this is the Cyberpunk that we've always wanted," I don't think that will change the mind of your everyday gamer. I think like they either bought it or didn't already. Nothing you can do to change their mind. So they've moved on already. Good for them, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of on board with that, but I don't know. The longer this gone on, you know, it's not just like the customers that they have to worry about. It's shareholders, and the shareholders want to see public confidence and positivity around CD Projekt Red. So I don't know. I feel
which
like
they will, they will get back immediately once they announce the next Witcher game.
I don't know. I just don't. I think,
I feel like what we have here is an apples and oranges comparison, because like Halo Infinite is an established property with Microsoft, who has monthly income guaranteed.
Well,
with Game
yeah,
Pass.
But also like so five severely damaged 343's reputation, not for being a buggy or a bad game, but it was just a game that people didn't want. And then like I'm trying to think to like the average customer that picked up like Cyberpunk 2077, like the amount of refunds they got back, which wasn't a crazy number or anything like that. It was pretty expected, but you know, I don't know how many people played that game and got any type of good experience on the Xbox or PlayStation at the time. And I'm just thinking back to like when I played the game, and I've still tried to play the game every few months to see how it's shaped up. And it's like, When I played The Witcher 3 and The Witcher 2, like I came into The Witcher 3 expecting a prestige product. Like this game was supposed to be really good, like almost Rockstar level of good. That's how they sold it, kind of thing. Like that's how big and great their games are, right? When I keep going into Cyberpunk, and like I'm not a graphics snob, and I'm not a, like if there's bugs or whatever, I can usually
you're a little bit of a graphics snob. Yeah. Like that's what we're
let's
call me,
come a little
on.
Bit.
Come on.
But that doesn't like severely affect my enjoyment of a game. It's definitely something like I look for in AAA stuff. But usually I can put up with like some bugs and technical issues and all that, because like, I've played Skyrim, I've played The Witcher at release. I've played all these games that have bugs and glitches and everything. It doesn't like make me want to just stop playing the game. And as part of like the press, like CD Projekt Red oversold me on Cyberpunk so much that when I go into the game to play it and I immediately encounter like these annoying, stupid bugs and glitches, it like I have to stop. I get mad. I just want to stop playing. And so I'm not sure how many people like came from The Witcher and expected like that kind of product with Cyberpunk and were turned off by just by how broken it was. And I'm like, I don't know. I just think in general, like, you know, when we were talking about it on Breakout, like some of the discussion was like, well, they really shouldn't. They're kind of in a rock and a hard place, because if they say anything, then people are going to keep asking about it, or expectations are going to get too high again. And CD Projekt Red is trying to bring those expectations down, like you're saying. But at the same time, like,
no. Oh, and I like here because here we're comparing it with the Halo franchise. And like you said, Halo 5, people hated because the story sucked. Yet here you all are lining up with your empty bowl saying more Halo, please. It doesn't matter.
Well, just to be fair though, I said, like I said, they have spent the last year communicating and showing how they're improving and what they're updating the game with. I haven't, my confidence in like 343 has gone up because of that communication with CD Projekt Red. My confidence keeps going lower and lower the more they delay these updates and don't provide us with any type of roadmap for here's what we're going to fix, here's what we want to change.
No. Cyberpunk is done. None of that, like, honestly. It's done. They won't care. None of that will matter when The Witcher 4 comes out and we're all here with our empty bowls saying, yes, please give me more, because that's where you are with Halo now. That's where we will be with the project. And because that's all we care about is the things we already know.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking like to the press, to press cycle for the next
Halo.
Game.
Oh, my bowl is empty. Give me more Halo. I know your last game was terrible, but give me more Halo.
I am skeptical about Halo Infinite. I'm excited for it, but I'm very skeptical of it. But in general, for CD Projekt Red, like I'm thinking ahead to like the next press cycle for their next game, because we got burned. We got burned. The press got burned on Cyberpunk 2077. I'll say that much. So I think hopefully, I mean, you and your cynicism might be absolutely right, and I'm mostly agreeing with you that like, yeah, like once the next like big, you know, fancy gameplay trailer comes out for the next Witcher, if that's what they're doing, you know, the media is going to eat that up too, because
we all
eat up
Cyberpunk.
The media will
have selective memory. We will forget about Cyberpunk. There'll be a few people who will say, hey, let's all remember Cyberpunk, but everyone else, like the headlines that
they'll say, let's remember Cyberpunk, but then still be excited for The Witcher anyway.
Exactly. Here, the headline is, what CD Projekt learned from Cyberpunk.
Yep.
Like, they will spin it because we all want more Witcher because that's what we're fans of. And so, no, nothing matters. They made a bunch of money and a bad game. That's it, right? Yeah. Like, boom.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I think they, you know, at 343 really wanted to fix its reputation.
Oh, here's my bucket of slop. What was I getting the slop from? You guess.
Well, 343 really wanted to improve its reputation, and I think they've done a really good job of being more transparent and communicative, because they weren't like that with 4 and 5, and it bit them in the butt both times. So CD Projekt...
Not if you're thinking long game. You're communicative when you have something good.
Yeah.
So let's think the long-term timeline. They weren't communicative with things they knew were bad, and they turned out
bad. They didn't know 4 and 5 were bad. Like, you're generalizing Halo 4 and 5 too much. Halo 4 is a good game overall, and basically the way the perception went for those two games is people liked the campaign of Halo 4, didn't like the multiplayer. 5 comes out, people don't like the campaign, love the multiplayer. And both games are still solid products overall, even if, like, subjectively you didn't like 5's story. It wasn't a broken, buggy mess like Cyberpunk. So we are talking apples to oranges, but also you are talking about two different fan bases here, where, like I said, the expectations for Cyberpunk, because of how well The Witcher was this high. Mm-hmm. For Halo Infinite, the expectations were, like, here, because people didn't really love 4 and 5 like they loved the original Halo trilogy. Now the expectations are here for Halo Infinite because of all the communication and the tech tests and the previews and the response has been good. Cyberpunk for me, and like CD Projekt Red, who I once thought of as a rock star level developer, is just careening because of the lack of dialogue on that game.
Right, but we're saying the same. I guess we're saying the same thing. I'm just looking ahead.
You're just saying people aren't going to care by the time that game comes out. I'm not so sure.
We're in the Halo 5 phase of things right now with CD Projekt. When it gets around to Witcher 4, they're going to start putting out press releases and images and gameplay because they're going to be excited about it, and we're going to be excited about it.
Yep. Well, I mean, you can look at the Starfield levels of hype to see that much, right? Like, everybody said they're so burned on Bethesda after Fallout 76, but are extremely excited for Starfield without having seen anything yet. So you should have become a games journalist. You should have become a games journalist. You would have gone to all those press events and you wouldn't write up any hyped up previews. You just come back like, I'll wait till I play it.
This is why I can't be a game journalist. I do have excitement.
Yeah,
I have excitement, but I am not able.
Yeah,
I can buy into some things, but I would not be able to do the things that Games Press does, which is have that selective memory loss. You know,
absolutely. You're more the average consumer and caught up on all the hype, but
right. Yeah, so therefore, my stuff wouldn't sell.
Yeah, and I'm not like. Like I said, I'm excited for Halo Infinite, but I'm still like very skeptical of what it's, you know, how the final product's going to turn out. Because even like from the campaign footage, we've seen like one location from the game, and it's supposed to be, you know, a wide, expansive exploration of the Halo ring, and we haven't seen any further areas other than this one area that they might have spent the last year polishing. You know, there's still, I'm still definitely concerned about it. I'm not like blind to like the issues I have with 343 and their storytelling and everything. But in general, like, it's a game that I was super concerned about since, you know, when they revealed it. Now that I've gotten to actually get my hands on the multiplayer's part, I'm not worried about that anymore. Campaign still but it's still not I know it's going to be overall mechanically quality product. It's just story. Mm-hmm. It's just story is all I'm worried about. But you know, we don't have to wait long to get our thoughts on it.
Well, there we go. That wraps it up on Halo. Once again, I've been Jack Packard, a semi-professional video game enjoyer, here for The Escapist, who is my employer.
And I am Nick Lenja, the editor-in-chief of The Escapist, who is Jack's boss. And when I tell him to play Halo Infinite when it comes out on December 9th, 8th, he's going to play it.
You didn't rhyme.
I don't need to. I'm making a statement of fact.
You even set yourself up with an easy rhyme of boss. Like, I was wondering where that was going. It's like, you set yourself up. Oh, boss. That's a nice, easy rhyme. Jack will play Halo Infinite or it'll be his loss. Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one. That could have, I'm like, you set yourself up, man.
Okay, so you'll play Halo Infinite at a loss? Is that what I heard?
I won't play anything I don't want to. that's the joy of being me. I don't need to do shit. I'll do what I want.
We'll see about that. You know what else you haven't played this year yet?
What?
Dead Space.
Yep. You know why? Because I do what I want.
Yeah. We'll see.